All right, Nehemiah chapter 4. Last time we got together and we looked at chapter 3, people did say it was a little bit boring. To walk around the city, just to walk around the city and to see different people working in the different spots on the wall, or the different places where the wall is supposed to be, just gave us an idea of what was going on and a reminder of what we're all about. And I think we'll see some of the same things tonight as we've kind of taken a tour all around the city. Started at the cross, ended up back at the cross at that sheep gate there, as you recall. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was angry, wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, or what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, or with him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. We talked about the enemy. Remember that Nehemiah, headed into the city, doesn't even know it, but the enemy is already on the lookout for him. You remember that? So he was coming into the city. You see Sanballat and Tobiah. You see a few people ready to see if they can stop this up, ready to attack, ready to destroy what God is doing. Enemy is always ready. The enemy takes the form of whatever the enemy takes. I mean, don't expect that you're going to recognize the enemy, because at first you might not. And what they do here in verses 1 through 3, once again, we've seen them do it. They're doing it again. They're mocking. They're mocking them. They're laughing at them. That's what the enemy usually tries to do first to stop the work. The enemy doesn't want the work of the Lord to be done, and so a mocking or a laughing at you is kind of a regular practice. Paul says that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. We know the things that are going to happen. Even though when they happen, we're shocked and stunned, we just know they're going to happen. And when they do, we shouldn't be so surprised that they do. I know we are, but we're learning, we're growing up. And as we continue to grow, we won't be so shocked when these kinds of things take place. They ask interesting questions. For instance, do you think you're going to do this job in one day? You know, this is an entire city wall here. This is big. They're going to finish it in a day? They ask, they're making fun. You know, it's going to take a lot longer than you think. You think you're going to finish this wall, and then you think you're going to go ahead and sacrifice to God in thanksgiving that you finished this wall, but it's never going to happen. You're not going to make it. That's what they're saying in verses 1 through 3. And, of course, the verse 3, Tobiah, he just really gets them. You know, from the looks of the poor workmanship, you're building this wall here. A little fox, you know, fox might weigh 3-4 pounds, really a light little animal. If a little fox jumped up on the wall, it would fall down. All he's saying is, you know, not only is this a joke, you're not going to finish this. This job is too big. There aren't enough of you. We're not going to let you finish it. And, you know, you're doing a lousy job. Little fox jumped up on this wall. It would fall down. I mean, come on, Christian. Haven't you heard it? What are you doing? You know, over here, we hear a lot about youth. Over here at our youth group, we take a lot of missions trips, and we just do this. We feed the poor. We tote that barge. We lift that bale. We, you know, and all you do is teach your youth the Bible. if you could just say that to yourself out loud, and all you do is do what God wants. They want them to learn and become disciples, make disciples of all men. You know, the enemy mocks you. And you say enemy? Oh, sure, sure. I would say that's enemy. They may not set themselves up in the place of an enemy, but you listen to the enemy in that. You hear that. You know, Peter wasn't Jesus' enemy. But Jesus did look at Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, Jesus recognized what the enemy was trying to do. So he's going to use someone else that you really like, or someone who, it doesn't matter what the situation, keep your eyes open. And the enemy's mocking, they're making fun of you. Fox gets on, that's going to fall down. You guys are really poor workmen. You don't know what you're doing. This isn't going to work. It's not going to last. Now, what do you think that would do to all of you who are out there working hard, trying to get this wall done? Yeah, I mean, you are working, and this is back-breaking work. You're sweating. It's hot. It's not that comfortable. Some of the food you're getting, you're going to notice in a little while, is not really good food. You're going to also notice that some of these people who should be tending their own land are really busy building the wall, so the land is sort of being forgotten, and the people are going into debt because they're not, you know, a lot of troubles because of, now I got to serve God, and it's really taking a lot of time. Other things are being neglected. Things are falling apart. What do you think would come from that? Discouragement. You simply try to teach the Bible. What do you think? The enemy comes along. That's all you do? Man, don't you do anything all day? What do you do? Well, I study. Well, I wish I had your life. And you think, well, you know, pretty soon you think, well, yeah, probably we all ought to be outside doing something, just moving. You know, all of us, we could call us Martha. We could just be busy. Watch out that you don't get discouraged from the task you've been given. Even when someone comes along and says, oh man, you're a lousy worker. You know, I bet if we dropped a feather on that, it would tip over. Poor, poor quality. Hey, just work hard for the Lord. Discouraging to the people of God. They were working hard to build this wall. Remember, we just walked around it in chapter 3. It's not so little. This is a big job. I've read ahead. Maybe if you have too, you already know they're going to finish this whole job in 52 days. Less than 2 months. You're also going to see in a few minutes that they didn't work 8-hour days. I don't think the union people were around, and I think they got away with it. You're going to see that they worked from the time the sun came up until the time the sun went down. You could say, that's not very long. Oh, this was during the nice weather. How long is that? Maybe 4:30 in the morning to about 10 at night or so? They were working overtime for no pay, working hard. People come along and mock, that's all you do? That's the job you're doing? What allows you? You think you're going to finish? You're never going to finish this. And it's poor quality to begin with. And the people will begin to get discouraged. And if the people are discouraged, they're not going to have the heart to do the job, are they? So you have to watch out for that. What do you think the response should be? Well, you already know what's coming. Look at the response of Nehemiah. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. He prays. What's the reaction when the enemy tries to discourage you by putting you down, making you think that you're no good at this, making fun, laughing? What should be your reaction? Hit them. Bite their nose. Pull their hair. Yell at them, make fun of them back. No, wait, notice the reaction. Pray. See how easy this is? Did you know that you could pray at 6 o'clock on Mondays? Is it 6? Yeah, 6. Did you know that you could pray at 7 o'clock on Sundays? Did you know that you could pray at 6 o'clock on Fridays with other people right here in the little prayer room? And did you know that that is important? And come one time and just see how many people are in there. All 3 or 4 of them. But did you know you could do that? You say, I don't have time. Well, that's right, I forgot. Because we only have time for what's important anyway. And so Nehemiah, the response is prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Nehemiah doesn't take this into his own hands. Probably feels like it, but he doesn't. He prays. He says, God, they are your enemies. What we're doing is what you've called us to do. Maybe a frumpy job. Building the wall certainly isn't as exciting or thrilling as building the temple must have been. But that's what you've called us to do. And Lord, this is our calling. Simple as it may be, simple as we may be, here's our calling. Lord, they are your enemies. They are trying to stop the work that you have commanded that we do. They don't want your city to be rebuilt. Now, this is an important lesson. You'll see it throughout Scripture, and I know you've seen it before. We all can learn from this lesson. Take note, Nehemiah leaves this for God to handle. Did you see that? He leaves it for God to handle. He could stop. He probably could stop all sorts of people from working on the wall and say, you know what? I'm getting tired of their lip. Let's just go on over there. They're the enemy anyway. And let's just kick them out of here. If he did that, it might seem logical, but it would stop the work on the wall. For how long? We don't know. I mean, maybe the enemy would be a little harder to kick out than you thought. Maybe it'd take a week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks. Maybe it'd take 6 months. I mean, we don't know. When you decide you're going to take things into your own hands, you and I do that, it may not turn out like you thought it might. And so we're told in Scripture, give it to God. Let God deal with the enemy. And so take note from that. I like it that Nehemiah doesn't go start butting heads with those who are opposed to God's work. You know, we don't have time to answer everybody who doesn't like what we're doing. And we don't want to take the time to answer everyone according to why we're doing what we're doing. What we want to do is do what we're doing. As long as we feel like that's what the Lord would have us to do, that's what we do. We don't have to explain why we want to teach our youth the Bible. If our youth don't want to learn the Bible, they can go to a playtime somewhere else. If our parents of our youth don't want them learning the Bible, they can. There are literally thousands of places to choose around here alone. Take them. But don't be surprised if we don't fight with you. We just keep on teaching the Bible. The kids learn the Bible, starting from the little bittiest all the way up through. That's what they study on Sundays and study on Fridays. God's Word. That's what's going to make them disciples. That's what's going to strengthen them up. And they're going to learn how to walk and how to do it. And that's what God has called them to do. And so Nehemiah, he just prays. You don't take it into your own hands. You leave it for God to handle. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. I know that you know this verse, but we'll get it on tape. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I think if we just leave it with God, I really do think in the long run, he'll handle it. Usually he doesn't handle it when I want him to. Go get them now, God. Break their teeth out. That's what the psalmist prays. Break out their teeth. But the truth is, just get busy building the wall. Just stay busy building the wall. And let God break out the teeth of the enemy in his time. However, whatever he's going to do to them, however he wants to deal with it, let him deal with it. Let them mock. Let them talk. Let them gossip. Let them go. Sanballat, Tobias, just let them go. They're going to keep on until they get their own selves in trouble. God will handle them. God is big and he can take care of them. But we get emotional and we want to handle it and we start to butt heads with them, and I think that's wrong. I think basically it'll take me off my task. It'll take you off your task. It'll stop you from doing what God has really said he wants done. So we want to be careful of that. So look at verses 4 and 5, prayer. And what did we do? Verse 6. So we built the wall. We never stopped. Even when they laughed at how we were doing it. Even though they said, it's not going to get done. You think you're going to finish this and sacrifice, but you're not going to do it. We built the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now that is an amazing statement. Nehemiah prayed. Now listen closely, because I think this is where we're missing it today. Nehemiah prayed, and notice, got up from prayer and worked. Now, a lot of times you say to someone, can you help us with this? And they say, I'll pray about it. Hey, either you can help us or you can't. Yes or no. If you can't help us, say no. We're going to still love you, but we want to get a job done here. You can be praying about it right before you come on in to give a hand. You see, a lot of people use that statement, I'll pray about it. That's a cop-out for not wanting to commit to anything. Hey, can you help us? We're going to come out and we're going to put a coat of paint on the roof only. I'll pray about that. I'm not sure if I'm available. Pray about what? Whether you know how to paint, whether you can spell paint, what are you praying about? See, in other words, it's a cop-out. Nehemiah did pray, and I think prayer is important. It's key. We want to be praying. We want to be people of prayer. But we've got to get up and build the wall, too. And that's what he says. We built the wall. You see him praying, and we need to pray. We probably don't pray as much as we should. And we built the wall. And I think today, many do pray, and that's all. But I notice here, there's prayer and construction. There's prayer and action. There's prayer and there's walking. And we learn that this is a Christian walk, that this is a race we're running. We learn that this is a war and we're in the battle. And so Nehemiah says, so we built the wall. How much did they build the wall? We built the entire wall halfway up, all the way around. What an amazing thing that they've done. He says, the wall was built up to half its height. All the way around. Remarkable. Because they worked about 52 days, it looks like this is near the halfway point. How did they do that? He says so. He says right here, we prayed that God would take care of the enemy. And we did what was in front of us to do. We built the wall. Notice, because of God's grace, and the people had a mind to build the wall. Isn't that what he says? The people had a mind to work. Of course, when you say that they've got a mind to work, you see that there's a heart behind that. We've got the grace of God going here, and these people, even at the expense of their own properties, next chapter we won't get to tonight, but next chapter you're going to see many of them are in danger of losing their properties because they spent so much time building the wall. The people had a mind to work. Their hearts and their minds were to do this work with God's help, and they did it. So we need to pray for another thing. We need to pray for hearts and minds that are willing to work, that are willing to get the job done. Or we could have the tendency to pray and hope that someone else will do the job. Jesus said to the disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest. For what? Well, the harvest is ready, but there aren't enough workers. asked the Lord of the harvest that he would send out the workers. Who did those workers turn out to be? Those guys that were asking the Lord for workers. Remember that? You pray and you get out and take care of the job that's in front of you. People had a heart. People had a mind to work. But, verse 7, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very angry. The King James word is wroth. They were very angry. The enemy did not want this to happen. They were hoping that that little bit of discouragement would help, that the mocking and the harassment and the joking and the laughing, they were hoping that would stop it. It didn't stop it, and now they're angry. And the enemy watches. And as you continue to serve the Lord, and the kingdom of God is being built and furthered by God through each one of us, it makes the enemy mad. He doesn't like it. He's going to do something now. You can expect that trouble's coming. It makes them angry. And what you're going to find now is the enemy is going to try another approach. All right, mocking them, laughing at them, making fun of them, that didn't stop them from their work. So he's going to try another approach. Let's watch this. It conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Who's all of them together? Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites. Remember, you've got a whole group. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. All right, they've got the wall halfway done. We've got an enemy says, got to get in there now and stop this project. All right, it's gone further than we really expected. We're just going to shut this thing down. So they're going to attack. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer unto God. Notice again. Set a watch against them day and night because of them. Prayer is the way to handle things. Pray. And you'll notice, after prayer, what? We set a watch. That means, now come on, think about what it means. You are working 15, 16, 17, 18 hour days, carrying rock, pushing wheelbarrows, I mean, taking the trowel and working with the concrete and putting the wall up. I mean, you're tired, and then someone taps you on the shoulder and says, all right, it's your turn to stay up all night and watch. And just like when we were in the military, they didn't give you the next day off. If you had to work 6 or 8 hours through the night, you still showed up for breakfast and went right on out to your job. It's not like they make it nowadays. If you work 3 hours at night, they give you, you come into work. I've been told in the military now, if you work a 4 hour shift through the night, they let you come in 2 or 3 hours late for work. I thought, no, that's not the economy the way it worked here in Nehemiah's day. We prayed that God would handle it. And then what did we do? We set a watch. Day and night, we made sure that we kept an eye out for the enemy. I like it. There's something to do. First you pray. Then you notice you walk in faith. First you pray. Then you notice you're walking, you're moving, you're serving, you're going. In obedience. First we read our Bibles. We're told this all through Scripture. First we read our Bibles. Then we, according to the power of the living God, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, then we go do it. First we read it, then we go do it. First we pray, then we get up and get with it. And that's what Nehemiah says they did here. They all conspired together to come and fight against us. They're going to attack. When? We're not sure. Words come down to us. God let them get word. They're going to attack. So you know what? We pray, Lord, you got to help us. You got to defend us. You've got to protect us against the enemy. And then we continue building the wall, but we watch day and night. Somebody, and believe me when I tell you, city's a pretty good size, good enough to where it's not just two or three guys. Or two or three guys and girls. No, I mean, you can believe you've got dozens of people around the top of this wall, even though it's halfway, watching all night. You're not going to doze off because you're a little tired and you've been working all day. No, you are watching because if the enemy has a surprise attack, you don't want it to come from your side where you are assigned to keep an eye out. No, you want to be sure that you're awake and watching. Now, notice verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Okay, let's say it in American. These guys that are carrying the rocks and pushing the wheelbarrows, because some are working directly in the wall, others are moving it around and bringing the materials, and you know the job that can be. He says they're decayed. These guys are wiped out. And there is much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. All right, that's clear what's going on. The people are exhausted. And as you're building the wall, remember, you've got a lot of trash. You've got a lot of dirt. You've got piles of sand. You've got piles of gravel and rock. You've got a mess around there. And it's hard to run wheelbarrows. You've got to start going way out of your way, going around to bring rocks. You're getting tireder, or is that a word? More tired and more tired. And you've got equipment in the way. And you've got scaffolding that you've got to now work around. And you've got to hand stuff up to the guys. The wall's halfway now. It's getting harder. What's he telling you? What's being communicated by this? We're watching all night. We're working all day. We're breaking our backs. What's he saying, everybody? I think it's clear. Here, the enemy tries a new tack. He tries to attack from within. No, Judah's not bad. It's not what I'm saying. He's simply saying, there's no more room. We're running out of the right materials. It's getting harder and harder to get the materials around because there's stuff in the way. This is a mess. What's being communicated? This is an inside job now. Once again, I think you're seeing discouragement. We're worn out. It's getting harder to get around. This job is too big. We can't build the wall. What happens sometime to you and I? The enemy in our own lives doesn't take up residence, but you start to think, we can't do this. This is just a little, maybe it wasn't the Lord. How many times have you ever felt that? This task is too big. So-and-so was helping us and now she quit. So-and-so is helping us now. He says he can't carry stuff anymore. We're running out of ways to get it around. We're not going to finish this. Maybe this wasn't the Lord to begin with. Maybe we misunderstood it. This is hard. He's getting discouraged. A bunch of people are getting discouraged. So the enemy's trying to hit from within now. It's not going to work. See, the enemy wants to stop us from this work. And let's face it. When the world looks at the work we're doing, they're going, what a job, lousy job, who cares, what a stupid job. But don't you understand that this is what God's called us to do? This is an important job we're doing. You go to work tomorrow and you're going to let your light shine. People say, what a stupid job. No, this is what I do. I let my light shine here. When I go to school, I let my light shine. That's what I'm called to do. It's not a big deal. It's not like you're going to be preaching to, yay, multitudes. You're probably going to maybe never even get to share with one with words. Maybe it's only going to be with actions. And you start to get discouraged. In our own lives, it happens. I know many people, in the ministry who end up quitting. They quit. I know why they quit. I know that it's hard for them, and I see them. I see why they give up. They go do something normal. They go do something easier. And most anything, after a while, is easier than carrying rocks and trying to build a wall, and you're trying to to build that wall all day and stay awake all night and make sure the enemy doesn't attack and try to keep the guys that you're working with, try to keep them in a good mood and joking and try to keep them moving, but everybody's tired, they're worn out, it's harder to get around, there's discouragement. A lot of people leave ministry because they're discouraged. A lot of people leave serving the Lord because they couldn't keep up the pace. They just couldn't keep it up. They're worn out. Just as we read earlier. A lot of them couldn't deal with the attacks from within their own church. And I've seen them they quit. They couldn't deal with the attacks from other churches in the community. And they give up. They quit. They just get worn out. They just get discouraged. Missionaries. This is so common with missionaries. They become discouraged. Doesn't make them weaker than me, weaker than you. They become discouraged. You get yourself out there and you'll see what I mean. The job is overwhelming. You'll take a simple position as a missionary and your task is to go out and to teach a Bible study out in some jungle somewhere. Now there's nothing easier than that until you try to get to that jungle. And by the time you get there, you are so physically exhausted and then they want to offer you food and you're thinking, people don't eat this, do they? I can't eat this. It's dirt. You learn to eat it, but and soon your support, people who are praying for you, they forget because you've been over there now 3 months and they figure, oh, she's fine, he's fine. We haven't heard any whining emails lately. So they've gotten over their whiny and they're doing better. And so they quit sending money, they quit praying. And then there's people out there who can't even function because they can't get by. The job is so big, they become discouraged, they give up. Soon they feel they can't continue to function. They give up and they go home. You can judge them if you like. You can say, well, that girl, she's weak. I knew she wouldn't make it on the mission field anyway. But the truth is, that's an attack of the enemy. To discourage us. To get us away from the simple little job we're supposed to be doing. And come on, God hasn't given any of us really big assignments around here, has He? Not really. But haven't you felt discouraged sometimes, even at the simple little task you're supposed to do? You say, it's too big. We're not going to get there. This is just too big. We've bitten off more than we can chew. This is too much. Discouragement. See, that's what the enemy wants to happen to you. That's what the enemy wants to happen to these people. This is supposed to be a surprise attack. Word gets back to them that the enemy's going to attack. So they have to put guards. They pray, and wisely, Nehemiah sets a guard day and night. All right, that's manpower. That's man hours. Everybody's doing their share. Now we're given more than our share. Now we're given 150% of all that we have. And it's starting to run people down and discouragement sets in. That's what the enemy wants. Think about Sanballat, Tobiah, and all the enemy. Think, very clever, isn't it? It's what the term I guess we could use is terrorism. What you want to leak to those people working on the wall. You want it to leak out that you're going to attack. But nobody knows when. And so they're stressed. They're afraid. They're trying to work. They're trying to keep the right attitude. And you've got them, don't you? We'll just give them a script. We'll stop them from doing this job. That's what the enemy thinks. And verse 11. Our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to stop. See, we'll surprise attack them. When they least expect, we'll wait till they're tired. They're getting worn out. They're starting to, they're starting to fight with each other. They're starting to bicker a little bit. You can hear them now sometimes in churches. you know, how, you know, so-and-so, she's just a gossip. She's just, here, ooh, see, we're starting a little bit of bickering there, tired of one another. They're working hard. Everybody's worn out. Oh, yeah, you think you're so holy? I'm here 6 days a week. Get that 6 days. Oh, yeah, I fast sometimes. Oh, yeah, you fast, sure, but you're a lousy Sunday school teacher. And here they go. You can imagine what's going on around the wall. Come on, yes, you can. You've heard it. You come to church. I don't like you anymore. You're not holy. I'm holy and you're not. I don't know if I can hang out with you. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. That would make me feel great. The enemy decides they're going to take advantage of the discouragement. People are worn out. They're discouraged. We'll surprise attack them when they least expect it, when they're not ready, and we'll get them. We'll just kill them all. All right. We'll attack while their guard is down, while they have their eyes on their problems. They'll never notice a surprise attack. Of course, verse 12 says, and they'll attack from 10 sides all at once. They're going to attack from everywhere all at once. We just know it. And we're weak over here. And you can imagine Nehemiah looking at the wall now and everybody working, saying, oh, my goodness, we're shorthanded over here. If they attack over here, that's going to be a mess. I don't know how we're going to do it. If they hit here with a powerful group, a large enough group, I don't know if we can get the guys from over here quickly enough to really keep them from tearing it down and overpowering us. We've got some... Oh, man, the enemy's got them, you know. We'll get them. Look at verse 13. This Nehemiah is a pretty wise man. God has really blessed him. Watch this. Therefore, or when you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for, right? Because of the surprise attack we're expecting, and because the people are now afraid. It could come from any side. I don't know if we can defend ourselves. I'm not sure we can do this. They're going to come in from all kinds of sides, from all places. Whence they shall return unto us, they will be upon you, they say. So, therefore, I set in the lower places, behind the wall, and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Here's a smart man. We'll say that in American. This is wise. He sets every man in a position around the wall, either up high where they're working or down low where they're lifting things. He sets every man in a position so that he can work and still be close enough to defend his own family. Did you see that? I'll read it to you again. I set in the lower places, therefore I set in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, verse 13, I have set even the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I make sure we start moving guys around so that the guys can be close to where their own families are working. Knowing that the guy, if there is any kind of attack, his first thought is, I'm going to have to defend my family. Where are they at? So he wisely puts them all around defending their family. Don't you think that they're going to fight a little bit harder, knowing that they're defending their own family? I think so. It's a pretty wise man. And I looked, verse 14, and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. That means awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Don't be afraid, you guys. Remember the Lord. That's what he tells the people. Just remember the Lord. He says, the Lord is great. The Lord's awesome. Trust in God and fight for your family and for your friends. Trust in God and fight for your family and for your friends. Remember what Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed? He took bread and he broke it. He took the cup and he said, drink from this all of you. And what did he say about the bread and the cup? When you drink this, what did he say? Remember me, didn't he? What's Nehemiah telling them? I know you're tired. I know you're worn out. I know that this job is bigger than anything you ever thought you'd ever been given. That you're worn out. That you're a little bit discouraged. I know that this is hard. But you know what? Work hard. Defend your family. Remember the Lord. He is almighty. God's going to take care of this. The next time you start to get discouraged, want to quit, want to give up, do like Jesus said. Remember me. Didn't he say, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. Remember the Lord. You won't become discouraged to the point where you'll give up. Remember the Lord and keep on working. Don't worry, the job's going to be finished soon. It's a hard job, but they're going to finish this thing. It's going to happen. God's going to see to it. It's going to work. And it came to pass, verse 15, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to nothing, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. The enemy hoped to attack secretly. Word got out. I think God saw to it. The enemy couldn't complete a surprise attack, which meant the city was prepared as it could be. So the enemy backed off, which allowed the work to progress. And I think you see that in ministry. I think you see it in your life, in your Christian walk. There are times when you can see the enemy's going to hit any time, and you're ready. And they'll back off just a little. It's not time yet. No, they're ready. They're walking in the Spirit. They're listening to the Lord. They're remembering He's got the power. Back off and wait a little bit. Wait for a better time. Let's wait till they get a little more tired. Let's just give them some time. The enemy will do that. You got to watch him. You got to learn the tricks that the enemy uses. So now that the enemy's backed off, everybody just took a vacation. And they all had a big picnic. It took six... It doesn't say that. Sorry. Wrong Bible. That was the modern day version that people like to think. Wait, let's just see what really happened. And it came to pass, verse 16. From that time forth, in other words, from that time and from now on, that half of my servants worked in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows. 50% of the workers are now working. The other 50% are holding every bit of the war equipment, standing right there at the ready. And the those things. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, in other words, the guys that were building and the guys that were down, you know, doing the labor and carrying things around and pushing the wheelbarrows, of all of them, everyone with one of his hands worked in the work, and with the other held a weapon. Each builder would have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other one. There's a motto. And it comes from the United States Navy, the Seabees. And one of the things that you were trained to do, the motto is, we build, we fight. And your responsibility called for being trained in both. So wherever you got sent to, if it was a combat situation, you would literally, when we would drive a bulldozer in that situation, would be my turn to drive. I'd have a guy with me, an M16 riding shotgun. Then we'd switch over after so many hours. You'd take the shotgun position. Somebody else would be driving. And you'd build a runway or a clearing or what we called a fire zone. That's exactly what these people are doing. We build, we fight. I mean, right now we're building. If the enemy attacks, we just go to fighting. And as soon as the battle's over, we go back to building. So they've got a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. the sword, I have no doubt, would represent God's word. What do you think? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, you and I, as believers, putting on this armor, the full armor, we read, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I think we're supposed to be working just as well. A trowel in one hand and the word of God in the other. That's what we're all about. That's what we're doing right now. We build, we fight. It's what we do. It's what we're trained to do. We're in the Lord's army. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The sword represents the word for us. You see, right now, I don't think really God is going to call us to go out and begin to preach the gospel and carry a sword and kill people with it. Although there are times for defense like that. I think the point is, when you want to apply this to your life and mine, as we are now serving the Lord in the simple calling, we're going to carry that sword, which is the word of God. What's the trowel? Well, that's an easy one too, isn't it? It represents our service, our work. We're going to be working at serving the Lord. Every one of us. Not just one or two who you think that girl's gifted, she can. That guy, he's pretty smart, he can do it. No, every one of us, can serve the Lord somehow, some way. Every one of us can. And so we serve, we work, and we carry the word of God, the sword of the Lord. And that's what they did as well. Verse 18 says, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me, Nehemiah says. And I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. In other words, this is a huge job. And we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither or there unto us, our God shall fight for us. Trusting in God, remember he said, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember God is what you want to do. And he says, you know, this is a big city, big enough. While you're working over here, if there happens to be attack on the other side of the city, you got quite a ways to go to get there. So he says, here's what we'll do. I'll watch, and we've got watches. When you hear the trumpeter will be near me. Wherever we see that the enemy is coming from, we'll blow the trumpet in that area, and every one of you come running to that area. So the enemy will not be able to overpower us. Every one of you, when you hear the trumpet, you go running to that area. I notice that he left nobody out. Well, except for you people that are a little bit timid, you just wait there at the wall. We'll call you if we need anybody to clean up. No. Again, Paul tells Timothy, we are all in the Lord's army. Fight the good fight. That's for you as well as it is for Timothy. That's for me as well as it is for you. We are all to fight the fight. Not just a few that are in good shape. Not just a few that you feel like, well, they've got their health, we'll let them handle it. No, that's every one of us. There's something that every one of us can do, no matter what our position or condition. There's something that we can do. We've got the Word of God, and we've got abilities to serve. No matter how weak or little we may see them, we've got them. And that's our calling. So Nehemiah says, when you hear the trumpet, you come running and show up where that trumpet is. So, verse 21, we labored in the work. Now that means they worked hard. And half of them held spears. Now here's your time clock. From the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. I'm telling you, those are some long days. 6 days on, one day for rest, which would be the Sabbath, working probably a good 16 to 18 hours every day, 6 days a week. Think they got tired? He says, we labored. I think they got tired. Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that you and I, when we serve, we'll get tired. Good thing about getting physically tired is you get over it. And although the outer man perishes, the inner man is strengthened every day. From sun up to sun down. Those are some long days. Likewise, verse 22, at the same time I said to the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. We're getting to the point where the enemy is getting a little jumpy. We've got to be careful. Remember, we read some of those guys came from Jericho. Okay, what do you have, about a 12, 15-mile hike home at night? He's saying, you know what? It's best if you just stay inside the city. Just sleep here. Oh, that's going to be great, isn't it? Now we don't even head home at all. Now we stay here until the job is going to be done. How long is it going to take? Well, we know how long it's going to take. But, I mean, let's pretend we haven't read further. How long is this going to take? I mean, you know, I have other responsibilities I got to do. I got a life to maintain of my own, you know. Wait a minute. You don't hear that from these people. You hear, all right, we'll stay. It even gets worse. Read the last verse. And tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So neither I, in other words, Nehemiah was right with them, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us took our clothes off. Except everyone took our clothes off when we showered. That's what it says. That's funny. God does have a sense of humor. Hey, they worked almost 2 months. Almost 2 months. From sun up to sundown. And the enemy tried a lot of things to stop this job. And they decided, you can't take your clothes off. You take your clothes off, and the trumpet's going to blow, and you're going to have to take all that time to put them back on and get over it. No, that's going to, somebody's life depends on this. So you leave your clothes on. The only time he says we took our clothes off was when we'd take a quick shower, because you did probably get a little sweaty working all those days. So they'd shower up, but then they put those clothes right back on. You slept in your clothes, you ate in your clothes, you worked in those clothes, and I'm sure that was a real pleasure to smell around that city. Because you could wash yourself, but, you know, the guys aren't bringing five sets of clothes with them from over Jericho, so they're just putting back on what's dirty, wouldn't you figure? Suffering for Jesus. You know something? What he just told you is, we're not going to let our guard down, not for anything in the world. We've got a calling, we've got a job to do. This is for the Lord. We're going to do it. It might be sweaty. It might not be comfortable. We're going to do it. It may be physically hard. It may be emotionally hard. It may be mentally hard. It may be spiritually hard. It's just going to be hard all the way around. We're going to do it. And some of you guys that normally head on home, stay in the city, because if there's an attack, we need every hand, every sword. We'll stop there. But what a bunch of lessons we can learn from building a wall. God has called you and me to a fight, to war. And we continue to serve, because I think there's something that we're supposed to be doing. Now, every one of us has a different task. I noticed that there were some that were builders. There were some that were wheelbarrow pushers. There were some that would just wander through cleaning up the area. Everybody had a job. Nobody was more important than anybody else, but everybody had a job. I think, according to Scripture, from what I can see, that's the same with you and me. You know, you take a simple little church like this. There are a lot of things that need to get done. A lot of things don't need to get done. Some of the things that we do here, we want to do because it helps the sheep be comfortable. We don't need to do them. We want to. Sometimes we catch ourselves thinking, well, let's back out of this. They don't need this. No, it wasn't a case of need at all. It was something that we wanted to do to bless somebody. You start to lose sight because it takes people. It takes work. And so let's don't do that. We don't need this. We don't need it. Wait a minute. We all got something we can do. Pray about it. All kinds of assignments. All kinds of tasks. Maybe you won't be on top of the wall putting in the big rocks. Maybe you'll just be one that carries dirt from wall to wall. I mean, who knows? But I notice that every one of us has a calling and a simple assignment. And God won't hold you responsible for someone else's job. He won't hold you responsible for someone else's calling. He will just look at you and say, this is what I've called you to do. Serve me, follow me. Pray about these things.